Okay, now, I've got lady over there, lady here, and I'll take lady there as well, so, and then I'll move back. So, lady over here.
Sorry, this is hard to formulate, but I don't know who really I had actually. I'm awfully glad that Jackie Bailey's here and you yourself are here. Right, I don't know if we've got any other elected representatives here, but I spend my life lobbying my eight, and it was recently it rose its head again. What is actually NHS and what are private health centres? Because our local drug distribution centre is actually, although the people working in it are NHS specialists, the actual practice is a private practice. I don't know if the same occurs in Clydebank or any of the rest of them. But I had lobbied my eight MSPs asking if they could take this up because of various other things. I had fought for a place on integrated medicine because I've been I'm a headbanger because I've banged my head off of every brick wall for the last 30 years on the NHS and education but where we fall down is we're victim of political parties who keep changing, who are not pulling together and use education and health as political brownie points instead of working together. Now, I had written to them all and my local constituency MP had volunteered to take up my case and lobby Mr. Calderwood. But I wasn't very impressed. No offence to Mr. Calderwood, but I had great dubiety on his ability to deal with it, right? So if Mr. Calderwood can look at the issues and then lobby my eight MPs and everybody else is here and ask them all to work together and look at the situation and how they can rationalise it and fix it. I have, as a hope, I had gone to the integrated care, managed to get onto it, which is very difficult because, but anyway, when I did get onto it, I have to pay for my prescriptions. My chemist went mad when I went up and she said, but this is an NHS prescription. But it's not recognised as such. I went in for surgery and I wasn't allowed to put down my medicine from the integrated care on it. I was not allowed to take it. I did land up with umpteen infections and have been on antibiotics, which aren't, and we know now are super bugs. Sorry, this seems so diffracted. But please, Mr. Calderwell, get to Jackie Bailey and her other AMSPs and to Shona Robertson and hers. Unfortunately, is there anybody here from the Lib Dems?
Well, I was going to say, in the spirit of political cooperation, maybe the MSPs in the audience could make themselves known because there are others. Do you want to? Yeah. So, do you want to introduce yourselves? Come on.
What are you going to do?
Right. And Bob. So there you are. You know who they are. Sorry. Yes, sorry. Excellent. So you've got a whole range of folk to go to there if you want to afterwards. I'll maybe say a wee bit about your question in a minute, but we'll go to Lady here.
Hi, my name's Janice Prentice and I'm the chairperson of the Mental Health Network Greater Glasgow. It's a small volunteer organisation. But my queries today, I was here last year as well, but my queries today are from where I live. I live in Eaglesham, which is the very southernmost point of NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, and we're part of East Renfrewshire Council. And there's two concerns. One is, at long last, instead of GP surgeries and a tiny wee clinic, they're building a health centre. But they're building it away down at Williamwood. There is no bus routes to go there.
Keith Brown's going to be a busy man after this.
So I wanted to mention that, but the second point is similar, and it's about transport to the Southern General from that village. We're quite a big population. They just keep building more and more houses, although it's a heritage village. But the transport at the moment, as far as we understand, is the bus into Buchanan Street. Well, it doesn't get into Buchanan Street, it turns left at Bath Street, and it's 2 an hour. But you've got to go to the bus station to get the shuttle bus to the Southern General. So I just wanted to raise that on behalf of anybody else that might live in East Renfrewshire, because it's a great wee area, but at the same time, we're the furthest away from, but the Vicky was our, the Victoria Infirmary was our local hospital. But I've said to my family, you know, if I have a heart attack, please just take me to Heer Myers, it's 3 miles away.
Okay, thank you for that, Janice, and I'll pick up the transport issue in the same way as I said I would do previously. And we have, who was the third person in this? Yes, lady here.
Hello, my name's Laura McHard. I'm a former employee of NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde. And the question that I would like to ask of you today is, are there any plans to develop or introduce a service for patients with ME or chronic fatigue syndrome? Specifically, my experience of it is my child has been ill for 4 years and only this year has received a formal diagnosis. And part of that was really just through my knowledge of the health service and how to steer him through that. So I think it's an unmet need, very much so, in the whole country, never mind just our health board. So is there any plans at all to introduce any kind of service for this patient group, specifically for young people who are devastated by this illness and the impact it has on their quality of life? It robs them of their education and of their childhood. And a service, I think, would be a very valuable asset to the health board in steering young people through this illness and letting them get into adulthood with some kind of health benefit at the end of it. Also, is there any kind of even moves from a public health perspective to develop a register of the incidence of this condition to be able to quantify, you know, the impact that it is actually making on society? Because I think it is an unknown quantity at the moment. And just lastly, is there maybe a separate issue, but in terms of the vaccination programmes in the health board, is there a database of the complications of vaccination, and is there any possible links to the development of ME or chronic fatigue in young people associated with the vaccination programmes?
Okay, thank you for that set of questions. On vaccine safety, whenever a vaccine is approved for use, they do a lot of follow-up in terms of any adverse incidents. They monitor that very, very closely, and they really do that on a UK basis so that they can gather any evidence of any consequences or impact that the vaccine is having. So they do that beyond the board level. It's done on a UK-wide basis. But just to reassure you that they do monitor these things. Can I hand over to you?
Yeah. Just following on that exact point, Amelia, did you want to add anything on vaccination programme?
Certainly. Thank you very much. You will see if you go on the board papers that we have actually presented to the board our performance in terms of the vaccine and the numbers we deliver. And by and large, they're one of the safest medicines we do have around. Shona mentioned that there is a very strict monitoring process in terms of the safety. And every single adverse incident is being investigated to ensure whether it's related to the vaccine or whether it's an occurrence. But by and large, the message is that it is one of the safest things, interventions we have, and we have seen actually drastic reductions in the incidence and occurrence of diseases we vaccinate against. So meningitis is a case, rotavirus in children. Answering your question about whether we should set up a register, we can certainly look at diagnosis and look at the prevalence. And there are ways of dealing with the ME patients, where it's just developing a specialist interest, but we can certainly look into that.
Okay, can we then go to the first question, integrated care and prescriptions?
Yes, the debate that I believe we are having is the issue that general practitioners are not obliged to prescribe on the NHS medicine from homeopathy. It is down to the individual general practitioner as to whether he will or she will issue an NHS prescription or a private prescription. We, NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, have debated with our own LMC and GP leaders on the basis that if the general practitioner makes the referral of a patient on their list to the Centre for Integrated Care, then he or she should then follow through on all of the treatment regimes that are then prescribed following that consultation. I believe over the last 2 years we've taken up individual cases with individual GPs, and I believe we are making headroads, but regrettably at the moment in relation to the regulations, individual general practitioners have the right to decline to issue an NHS prescription for homeopathy medicine. So that was the area we've been consulting on. We, as I say, within Glasgow, have taken the view with our local general practitioners and their local medical committee that they should, as I say, follow through in all of the consequences of that referral. Our view is if they're not going to do that, they should not make the referral in the first instance. It's not fair to the patient. So we will continue to reinforce that message with the LMC if there are examples within Greater Glasgow and Clyde that is still persisting. Turning to transport, but more particularly the siting of the new Eastwood Health and Social Care Centre, I was going to be naughty and point to somebody else in the audience and ask that they comment, but I won't because he's turning away as I look at him. The bottom line is this: we completed a public consultation with East Renfrewshire Council through our Integrated Community and Health and Care Partnership about how the new health centre and the significant money being made available by both the health board and the local authority would best meet the needs of the population. And the outcome of that option appraisal was the selection of the site, and the health centre is under construction as we speak. I believe that there was a thorough engagement with the wider community, and as always with these investments, one site wins out over another. So that certainly is the issue with the new health centre. There was a full option appraisal on sites, and transport and accessibility was one of the factors taken into account. Transport, the Cabinet Secretary has talked about the wider issues of transport. We have a dedicated transport team. We are working literally on a weekly basis with the STP, who have the executive responsibility for the commissioning of public transport as part of the Section 75, i.e. the community benefits of constructing the new hospital. Money was set aside to support improved public transport. Indeed, the current government provided over £40 million for the fast link, specifically on the understanding that it was to link the city to the new Queen Elizabeth University Hospital as a critical part of that investment. It's a bit disappointing that we haven't just completed all of the construction work to get that up and running as smoothly, but I'm assured by council colleagues that by the end of September, we should be up where we want to be. So we are continuing to work to refine how we use this. To put it simply, under the auspices of the old Southern General, we had less than 20 buses an hour passed either through or beside the hospital. As of this week, we have 90 buses an hour in Arrival Square, right outside the hospital. So there has been a significant provision of additional transport from various communities, but inevitably it can't always, because there is an element, as you know, of deregulation and therefore economic case. It isn't obviously from every street corner to the new site, but we have gone, we've had over a fourfold increase in public transport accessibility to the site.
Now, the lady asked about ME services. Yes. Can we...
Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, ME, or it used to be called, I think, chronic fatigue syndrome, I think what often happens with patients is that they can spend a lot of time being diagnosed, so they go to multiple different specialties. And part of the reason for that, I think, is because the symptoms mimic a lot of other illnesses. And I think they get a range of tests and investigations by doctors from neurology to general practice to exclude them. It would be useful to talk to you afterwards, because I think it would be helpful to understand what the issues are with your own child, and also within paediatrics, what we can do to improve the service there. So I'm happy to discuss that with you afterwards.